have or take that opportunity. So it's good to just be able to bless one another. Bless you, bro. Yay. Good, good, good. Let me, I'm left out. Just bless Molly. If there's anything good about me, it's because of her. Yeah. Let me tell you a story of Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell walked down in the Philadelphia subway. He sat down his violin case, opened it up, took out his violin, began to play. There were hundreds of people there walking by Philadelphia subway. Some of them stopped for a minute, listened, most gazed as they walked by. There were a few folks actually stopped and threw some money into his violin case. And Joshua played for about an hour. The end of the hour, he collected a few little dollars, put them in his pocket, put his violin back in the case, shut the case, walked out of the subway. He had made $17.64 in 1 hour of playing. That night, Joshua Bell walked into the Kimball Convention Center in Philadelphia. He was playing with, or Kimball Performing Arts Center. He was playing with the Philadelphia Philharmonic Orchestra that is known as being one of the top five orchestras in the world. That night, Joshua Bell was the highlighted musician being known as the best violin player in the world. He played for about an hour. They gave him $100,000 for that hour. And at the end, 15,000 people stood to their feet and clapped for him. It was the same guy, same talent, same instrument that costs multi-million dollar Stradivarius violin. Same instrument, same talent. One audience did not recognize nor receive him. The other audience recognized and received him. When this audience received him, his gift was appreciated. When that audience is walking by in the subway, they think just another street musician. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, stood up in his hometown and preached himself. And the Bible says nobody would come listen to him. A few folks did, and he had a couple miracles. Then it says he walked down the street to Hartsville. When he walked down the street to Capernaum, the Bible says they received him. This is in the scriptures in the book of Matthew. They received him, and he healed everyone that was sick. Come on, Jim. It is the same Jesus, the same gospel, the same power, in this place not received, in this place received. And the impact and the difference was who it was that was receiving him, not what was coming out. And here's what Jesus said. He's in that teaching, here's what he said. If you receive a righteous man as a righteous man, what will you get? You've read the Bible. A righteous man's reward. If you receive a prophet as a prophet, what will you get? a prophet's reward. Here's what Jesus was saying. In one place, they'll say, oh, you're a good guy. And you know what? Fellow walks through the Philharmonic, walks through the subway, elbows his wife and goes, you know what? That old guy down here is not too bad a violin player, right? That night, a millionaire in the stadium or in the hall elbows his wife and goes, that is the best violin solo I have ever heard. The first guy paid zero, got zero. The next guy paid thousands of dollars to buy a ticket to sit in that seat. They were hearing the same music. One, it was received. The other, it was not. I want to say one thing here, first of all. Number one, it happens to Jesus too. Not received, received. Now here's the second thing I want to say. Go where you are celebrated, not where you are tolerated. Where you are tolerated will quench you. Where you are celebrated will release you. Does that make sense? And so the Apostle Paul, when he is teaching about communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, here's what he says. Whenever you come to communion, wait on one another. Now, if I was just reading old King James English, what I would think that meant was when we're going to have communion, we're going to get in a line, and what I need to do is step back so you can step up. Just wait on one another. Just wait for the first person to go through so you can come in behind them. Anybody's mama teach them manners? And if there's someone older than you, or my mom taught me, if you're a boy and it's a girl and she's a girl, huh, is open the door for her. You step back, let her step in front of you. That growing up, I'm reading a Bible. I go, that's the manners my mom taught me when we're having communion. Don't you guys come running down here fighting one another. Is you just wait on one another, right? Let the other guy go first. That's not what Greek related to the Hebrew word means. Anybody ever watched the movie of the queen, and she's having a party at the royal castle, and the duke of wherever that is supported by whomever, and they'll blow the trumpet. You guys seen the movie on TV? They will blow the trumpet. The duke of whomever being accompanied by, or the duke of wherever is being accompanied by Miss Whoever. And then they go into the party. Anybody ever been to a wedding where everybody lines up and the bride and groom come through and you throw rice on them? We always thought the birds would eat the rice, and then the botanist told us it causes the birds to blow up. Don't do that anymore. Somebody was blowing bubbles. I said, why in the heck are we blowing bubbles? Let's throw rice. And then an informed person who had watched TikTok told me, don't feed the rice, don't feed the birds that rice. It'll blow their gizzard up. Okay, so we blow bubbles now. Anybody ever had that happen? And then they get, in my era, then they get in a 64 Chevrolet that's got a 350 engine, and they squeal the tires out, and yay, now they're married. Amen. Do I have an amen? No, you didn't like the Chevy. How about if I said a Dodge? Okay. Okay. No. What's that called? That's called the receiving line. That's called when the bugler blows the trumpet, that's called they are being received into the party. Here's what the Bible says when we do communion. It goes, we receive the Lord, we accept the Lord, we recognize who the Lord is among us, but then it goes, we recognize who we are among one another. Now here's what the Lord says in the scripture. What will happen is, if you will receive somebody for who God made them to be, you will receive the blessing that God created them to give. Talking to somebody this week, and they called me talking about a situation, and they had a decision to make, and I gave them the advice I just gave you. They said, I can go here, I can do this, I can do this, or I can go here, I can do this, and I can do this. If I do this, it means a little bit less money, a little bit less prestige. If I go here, a little bit more money, a little bit of prestige. But here's what they say. I'm tolerated here. I'm celebrated here. The benefit is not as good going where I'm celebrated. And my advice was, the benefits are better to go where you're celebrated. Because what's going to happen is more of your creativity, your ability, the grace of God in your life is going to come out in the celebrated environment. And what you will find, you will develop more, you will attract more, you'll have more benefit going in the celebrated. Why? You'll be received. Christ himself, it says, healed a few people. Same Jesus, same gifting, same gospel, walks to the next town, and in the next town, everybody is healed. Why? Was there more inside him in that place? No. What happened?
There is 110 volts of electricity coming through that socket right there. 110 volts of electricity.
In the back, there's one that has 220 volts of electricity. Do you know they're coming from the same source? This one is drawing less on the source than that one is, though it's the same source. How about if the power, that's only half. Joshua is, somebody gave him $17. Somebody said, oh, that guy's a good player. Let me give him $1. Not knowing. They had just filled a stadium that people were paying $1,500 to sit in the stadium seat. It was already sold out and filled. Huh? Same player. How about if, this is good news, guys. How about if God has created you for something that simply the environment or my mindset or the situation you're in is not releasing the who you are. Huh? And you could take, put the you in another circumstance, and suddenly there's all kinds of flourishing. Now what will happen to some people is you will think, I am less because of this circumstance right here. And here's what the Apostle Paul says. If you will receive, communion is a place that can happen. If you will receive people for who God created them to be, come on, then who they are can express, breathe, and come out because there's an environment they can be received. Now here's what Paul says. And one of the places that can happen is communion. You can come to communion receiving one another, and in the receiving, there will be more releasing of what God has imparted, what God has I like the word down paid. Is that even a word? Gave down payment on. He's already given it. There is more releasing when there is receiving. Does that make sense? And so today I just want to talk just for a little bit to stir up some faith and say, let's have communion together. And I want to encourage us on, when we come to the communion table, there are five things to celebrate. Five things we celebrate when we come to communion. And I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. And what Paul's going to tell you, I didn't make this up. I never sat in my study and came up with a good idea. He said, I receive from the Lord what I receive from the Lord, I'm giving to you. I receive from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. So in a few minutes, our deacons will give you a piece of bread. We are not making this up
and just go, this is a good idea. We have a line of information that has been passed down through generations that comes from the scripture, and it is a remembrance to us, me individually, you individually, us corporately, of what Christ has done for us. And so we will say the body of Christ has been broken for, and y'all, if you guys were Southern, we could really understand this. It was broken for y'all and all y'all. Anybody ever know anybody from the South? If you're from Indiana and you don't raise your hand, you're lying, because everybody hears from there, okay? No, it is, in the Greek language, there is a you and there is a you all. There is a you individual and there is a you all corporate, and there is an intention in the language that is a you and a you all. Does that make some manner of sense? Here's what that scripture is saying. It is you individual and you all corporate. The body of Christ, that ought to cause somebody almost to cry. The body of Christ broken at a whipping post and on a cross. I was talking to some men yesterday, and I go, I want you to think about this. In the old days, they didn't have forklifts and they didn't have cranes. And the way that they would set a high pole or a beam is you dig the hole and then you put the pole into the hole and then you just post it up and you walk it up. If Christ had nails in his wrist and in his feet, and they walk it up, walk it up, walk it up, and then something called gravity takes over, and now it settles in the hole. What would it be like for a man whose back has already been beaten on a rough-hewn piece of lumber when the pole settles in the hole, and it scrapes the back, and it his weight goes on to the nails that are in his wrist and in his feet. And today we look at a wafer and we go, oh, that wafer in its simplicity reminds me there was a body that was broken. Now the body was not just broken for no reason. There was not a no reason Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. There was a broken on purpose for purpose. And I go, what was the on purpose, God? And he goes, for you and y'all. Jim, say the Lord's Prayer for me, somebody. Jim, do you remember? How's it start out? Lord's Prayer. Hey, what's the first word in the Lord's Prayer? Do you know the Lord's Prayer never says pray for your own bread? What does it say? Our Father who art in heaven, give. Do you know it never says give me this day? You know what the Bible just says? It's illegal for you to pray for your bread and not pray for my bread. Because here's what Jesus said. I died for y'all as much as I died for you. Therefore, you can never have a you without a you all. You ever heard anybody say, I like Jesus, but I don't necessarily like the church? Anybody ever heard that? I have my own relationship with Jesus. You just need to tell Nate, the little skinny guy over here on the right. Just tell Nate, I really like you, Nate, but I don't care so much for your wife. Nate would go, me neither. No, I'm kidding you. No. Can you imagine to say to the God of the heavens, I like you, but I really don't like your kids or your wife at all? Does that make sense? And you know what Jesus would say? It's impossible for there to be a you all by yourself. You are my kids and my wife. Huh? Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. Do you know there's never in the prayer, and here's what Jesus said, I'm going to teach y'all how to pray. Do it like this. There is never an individual request in the whole thing. Here's what he says. You celebrate me and you celebrate us and it will elevate you. You don't celebrate me and you don't. That's what Paul's going to say in this Bible right here. You don't celebrate me and you don't celebrate us. It will devalue you. How about if there was an environment that Jesus could come into that environment and be Joshua Bell in the Philharmonic, standing up, playing a solo, backed by the best musicians in the world, playing his heart out? How about if there was a place Jesus could be himself like that, and people could be themselves like that? Think that'd be cool? And Paul says the celebration of that can be found at the table of the Lord. Look at this. He took bread. This do, take heat. This is my body, which is broken for you, you all. This do in remembrance of me. So celebration number one, when we come to the table of the Lord, we celebrate the Lord. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. Celebrate what I did on the cross, though that is implied. It is implied, celebrate what I did on the cross. But that's a secondary thing. The first dairy thing, the primary thing, is you celebrate the one who did it, not what was done. Does that make sense? Celebrate in the communion tables. This one's kind of covered, but this one probably doesn't. Remember the old communion tables, what does it say right in the front? In, remember, you've been to church 7 million times. Do you remember this table right here? It goes what? In remembrance of what I did on the cross. No, what does it say? In remembrance of me. You give the soldier for the purple star for what he did. You give it to the soldier for who he is. Who he is did something. We're not celebrating the something. We're celebrating the someone. I go, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. I'm not celebrating the cross. I'm celebrating the Christ who died on the cross. I'm not celebrating the violence of a man nailed to a pole that gravity takes over and jolts him to the ground. I am not celebrating that violence. I am celebrating the one who took the violence. And the Bible says, because he took that violence, now there is a remission of sin for a me and a thee. A you and a you all because of what he done. And when we come, we celebrate the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The second thing that we celebrate, I'm going to put these two together, is we celebrate the presence of one another. I can take communion by myself, but it's only a half communion. Do you know that? It's perfectly fine for me to take and celebrate my communion with the Lord. But in the New Testament, communion is not only with the Lord, it's with somebody. And so I celebrate the Christ that is in you. So I celebrate, A, the presence of the Lord, B, the presence of people, and C, I celebrate my present salvation. Anybody in the room glad you're saved? Okay. Two things need to happen. Some people need to get saved, and some of us need the joy of your salvation restored if you're not glad yet. But once in a while in life, as often as you do it, here's what the New Testament church probably in some expressions they did it daily. Some expressions did it weekly. We're Baptists. We do it monthly. But whenever, as often as you do, you take communion, you remember your present salvation. I'm saved right now. But I'm saved right now because of what Christ has done. He purchased, I live on this side of Tetelestai, or it is finished. He purchased my salvation at the cross. My justification, my right with God was purchased 2,000 years ago, but I come today to the communion table and go. I celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago. It happened in me a couple of decades ago. I celebrate the salvation that I have in God. That's justified. Okay? I have a salvation that has already happened. It's taken care of. I'm justified. But I'm also in process. I have been saved. I am being saved. Anybody else being saved? Anybody else working on anything at all? Huh? Some people go, I got saved 50 years ago, and by God, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's all there is to it. And I go, no, it's the end. It's the front end. It's not the back end. I'm on a journey being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm better than I was. I ain't good as I'm going to be. Okay? And I have a salvation that is continued. There are things that controlled me last year that don't control me this year. There is a progression and growth in the freedom that we have in Christ. Here's what Paul writes. He goes, go ahead and preach the gospel to those that are already saved. And I go, Paul, they're already saved. Why would I preach the gospel? He goes, oh, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to the world. But to those that are being saved, it is the power of God to salvation. And I can just stand up and go, Jesus died on the cross. He died for your sins. 40 years later, you'll hear that for the 9,000th time. And then the 9,000th time, there's a power that will be released in the preaching of the cross that has been in no other time. You can come to communion and there will be the celebration of the salvation that we have in God. Okay? And then he goes, I like this one. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And later he goes, and it's in the gospel, he goes, do this in remembrance of me until what? Until what? Until I come again. When did Jesus give them that meal? Last Supper. When was the Last Supper? Right before he died on the cross. Look what Jesus just, he just did a great prophecy. And he says to the disciples, here, take this meal. Do this in remembrance of me, what? Until I come again. They go, what in the world are you talking about? And he goes, oh, I'm going to die, but when I die, that won't be the final word. It will be the victorious word. I will hang on the cross and go, Tetelestai. It is over. It is finished. The debt's paid. The victory's won. Then he died. Well, how are you going to do it? And in remembrance of him, he's dead. And guys, here's reality. Either Jesus rose or he didn't. And if he did, there is salvation in his name. And so he goes, you celebrate that salvation until I come again. Okay, so we celebrate what? Presence of the Lord. Two, the presence of one another. Three, our present salvation. Number four, we celebrate the proclamation of the gospel. This is going to preach the gospel better than I ever could. There's a sermon bigger than words when we see a broken body and we see shed blood. So he goes, this is the proclamation of the gospel until I come again. Okay. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. Do you see two times he said in remembrance of me? What is the number one reason we take the communion according to Jesus? Is to remember Jesus. Is to take my mind and focus my mind. One of my favorite people in the history of the world was my grandma. And right now, I can place my mind on my grandma. I can never place my mind on my grandma without smelling in my memory. And the smelling in my memory is my grandma made perked coffee on a fireplace. And you just never was raised in the country until you've smelled that. And if she made breakfast, there's four or five meats and there's some other things. And when I remember Grandma A, then I remember what Grandma did. My mind is not on anything else but Grandma on that second that my mind's on Grandma. Here's what Jesus said. When you come to communion, set your mind on me. When you set your mind on me, let it be a remembrance of what I've done for you. Does that make sense? So this cup, and as often as you drink it, remember me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. That's amazing. You're talking about his death, his resurrection, and his coming again every time you take communion. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks this bread unworthy manner will be guilty of the body of the Lord. But let each man examine himself, and here's a big one, let him eat the bread, drink the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Now look what it says. Not discerning the body of the Lord. Not discerning the body of the Lord. He goes, has three, and then later he'll go, the second not discerning is not recognizing one another. Okay, here's what he's going to say. It has three effects. Those who eat and drink, okay, for this reason many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. Here's what he said. Not taking communion correctly, there are some that are weak among you, some are sick among you, and some people have already died simply because when they took communion, they did not discern the body of the Lord. That's kind of a strange and interesting word, isn't it? Implication is, if you take communion correctly, rightly, with faith, recognizing who Christ is, recognizing who one another are in him. He goes, you have that kind of environment. Here's the potential that could happen. There will be a release of life. There will be a release of health. And there will be a release of strength. You could come to church and nothing could happen. That would be a bad day. But he said, if you will come with faith, believing and recognizing the power of the Lord is present when the people of the Lord are gathered, then I could pray, believe, look to him, and there would be a release of life, health, and strength. So our guys are going to come in just a minute, and I'd like to pray those three blessings. Pray the release of what Jesus did in the shedding of his blood, the breaking of his body, and say, may life and health and strength be released to us as we take communion together. Now, here's what I'd like to do today. Just maybe it might just be a little different. I want to open it up. Welcome that you be. When our guys come up and they pass the element, when they pass the elements, just like we did at the beginning, and you have your elements, I want us to take just 30 seconds, a minute, maybe 30 seconds. If there's someone in the room that you go, today, we're all taking communion together, but today I would just like to take communion with you. For example, Molly just might like, we got all of our elements, we're all here, guys have done their talk, passed out everything, take a 30-second pause. Molly might go, I just want to take communion with Betsy today, right? I want Molly to feel free that she can move back and be with Betsy before we take the elements together. Is that okay? Because we're going to take them as y'all, but you might just go, there's somebody that I have relationship with, fellowship with, or just today I just feel like I want to do that. I want to move to them, take communion. When we take the elements, just take communion together with that person. Is that okay? Am I being clear? Okay, good. Let's pray, and our guys will come. We'll take communion. Father, we thank you for the power of coming to the table of the Lord together. Lord, it's more than just a ritual. We don't want to go through the potential of the release of life and health and strength and just pass it by because we never recognized it. But I don't want to be somebody that would walk by a Joshua Bell, not recognize the foremost guy in the world is playing the instrument 2 feet from me. I never recognized it, and I went by. I wouldn't want your presence to be among us. There are things that are intended in your heart. There's freedom for people, and there's strength, and there's healing. And we just went through a ritual, and we never caught it. So right now we stop, and we set our affections towards you. As we come to this table, we do it in remembrance of you. And we thank you for a body broken, for blood shed, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could overcome in this life, that we could spend forever with you when you come again. We pray the power of the gospel would be the power in our celebration today. Lord, we recognize those among us, and that you have come into this place by your Spirit, set us together that we may accomplish for your glory. I pray especially for people today, God, that feel constrained. They know there is no place that they're celebrated. They're tolerated in every place in life. And I pray the release of the beauty of the grace that you have put inside them, that you'd made them to be, would be released in the midst of your body. And the power that is in time we share together around your table would initiate the grace that would move toward the fullness of all that you've desired. May your blessing be over us in this time we share together at your table. In Jesus' name, amen.